This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Throughout history, different cultures all over the world reference a great tournament of champions. That dragon marking? I think it's an invitation to fight for something known as Mortal Kombat.
I am Sub-Zero.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. It is our review slot, and today we are reviewing Mortal Kombat, but specifically the 2021 version, just because there have been other Mortal Kombats that have come and gone in the past.
Really? Mortal Kombat? It isn't like a standalone indie feature that I'm just hearing about?
I'm trying to see how many times I can just keep saying Mortal Kombat. In the course of this review.
I must say that given the last year and the lack of just splashy, fun theater things where just like things explode and limbs fly around, I was excited for this one. I'm not even a huge Mortal Kombat fan, except that I love the 1995 film. And I suppose it has all of those things to start off with. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm just surprised that movies like this still get made, like in 2021. You know, this movie captures that early 2000s straight to DVD or accidental rental sort of vibe. You know, they should not, there's no way that a movie like this should even exist today, because
okay, I didn't expect this from you. I legit thought you were the one making the case for it's garbage, but yes.
No, I completely enjoyed it. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. But it is like, it's trash. It's such a bad looking film, like aesthetically, the editing, the pacing, the quote unquote story or lack thereof. So I don't know, like even watching it, I was like, how do you make a movie look like a DVD release from the mid 2000s? Like that's a skill.
And it's a cinema release. It's not a straight to streaming.
It's not.
But there is a significant drop, I will say, after the first 10 minutes, right? The first 10 minutes is a deeply misleading opening to the movie, because it opens with the kind of backstory for how one of the central villains, Sub-Zero, essentially comes into being and creates his nemesis, and how that bloodline, I don't know why they bothered trying to eke a coherent story out of this, but they tried to kind of set it up with this grand tragic backstory that takes place in the Edo era, you know, in Japan. And I will say that the first 10 minutes of the film, I thought, okay, all right, let's see how this goes. Hiroyuki Sanada is there, wheeling his sword, you know, throwing ropes around. I'm into it. And then it flashes into what is essentially today. And that's the part where I start to go, ah, okay, let's settle into the DVD-ness. So the story is that, Arvin, do you want to tell the story?
So Mortal Kombat is a tournament and they have to gather people that have this dragon tattoo so that they can take part in that Mortal Kombat tournament. And that's basically it. And there's a
between
light side.
Between realms,
there's a light side, there's a dark side. The evil realm, quote unquote, has won 9 tournaments. And if they win another tournament, then they get to destroy our realm. That's basically the premise. And I don't know if that's the whole movie, but that's basically the premise.
But then that's the part where we come in, right? And the baddies are like, oh no, the good guys potentially have a winner because of some prophecy. You know, it might all change. It might all turn around for them. And so the movie itself is not really about the tournament. It's more like the tournament hangs over it. But the movie is mostly about trying to prevent the tournament from actually happening, which for a movie called Mortal Kombat is a bit misleading.
I am sorry. I wanted Mortal Kombat. I wanted champions pitted against champions, one dark side and one light side, and you know, them being slaughtered. I was so on board for this. Like, this is what I wanted. And for a film that's called Mortal Kombat, for the first Mortal Kombat film in so long, with actually some actors who are really good at physical action and stunts and so on. Most of it is CGI fights. Most of it are group sort of group fights where things happen really quickly and then people are dead before you know it. I was really disappointed. Where's the combat? Where is the one-on-one fighting that I wanted to see?
So I think the biggest problem is that the producers going into this said that their sort of like mental state or their mindset was, what would the MCU do? So what would Marvel Studios do in a situation like this? And I'm like, you never do that, because you've sort of failed. If you're going in with that mentality, then you've kind of failed already. So I think this was the setup film. And they said that one of the actors, we can't say who, signed on for 4 or 5 movies.
And so, the ending indicates it as much. It totally leaves it open for a sequel already.
Yeah. So this was, I don't know if that was the best approach, because depending on how it does, maybe there's not going to be a sequel. So I would have also liked to have seen like a full-blown Mortal Kombat, like do it now, just drop us like in the middle of whatever tournament's going on, instead of like doing this introduction thing and setting it up for like, I don't know, like maybe a sequel or the third part or whatever.
Let's talk about the cast for a bit, because while a lot of the battles are CG battles, it's very heavily reliant on CG, I think, as you would expect, because most of them have special powers beyond hand-to-hand combat, right? Like whether it's fireballs or a magic hat, you know, the point is...
and you're not even lying. There is a magic hat.
There's a magic hat. The point is there are all these things. And I think that with action movies, right, half the battle, honestly, I believe this, rests in the charisma of the performers. So whether or not it's charismatic acting, less important than charismatic movement and presence, right? And those are the things that really matter, especially for a movie that is essentially a martial arts movie. I personally found that lacking, particularly in the main cast. I found it very difficult to latch on to Louis Tan, who's playing a new character, right? He's essentially not someone in the games. And then you also have just a variety of people who, I don't know, it's a reasonable cast, actually. I just didn't think that anybody had that kind of charisma and presence that I want to see in a film like this.
You're absolutely right. I was very, very excited when I found out that Louis Tan was playing a character in Mortal Kombat, because he was in like one scene in Iron Fist, and he's the only thing I remember about that whole ridiculous series, because he played a drunken warrior and he did this whole fight sequence. He was so funny and fun and charismatic to watch. I thought, ah, oh, we're going to see brilliance in Mortal Kombat. Here, he's cardboard. He's cardboard throughout the film. And I don't know whether that's just because that's how they've written his character, or he's just not vibing with the role. But that sets the tone for everything else, right? The most exciting thing we see is in the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes. And the characters involved in that, we don't see them any most of for the rest of the film. So the rest of the film is just really flat.
They all look amazing, though. That's one thing. So in like in still shots, or if you just saw them as these adaptations of the video game, then they look like really, really true and really, really like close to the source material and stuff. Sub-Zero, I'll say, is like, it's really well done. Like he's rugged and menacing, and he comes off like in from certain games, like depending on where they adapted him from, then he's like a really strong character, and I think they focused a lot on him. Even the CGI was focused a lot on him. I think they used that whole budget just on one person. But otherwise, everybody looks their part. They just don't behave their part. Like you said, everyone's sort of like mishmashing with one another, or all of them are playing the same person sometimes.
It's true, right? I think that the good guys in part... So the bad guys are all menace, no backstory. The good guys are all backstory, no personality. And so it's kind of this weird mix of people saying very earnest things like, I want to train, and other people going, we will train you. And I'm like, okay, we didn't need dinner for this. You know, you can just skip to the training montage. So I think that there were things like that. I also, going back to that point about the central tournament, I think that there is an issue when there is nothing to work towards. So the whole middle part of the film is essentially training montages, arguments, and all that. And sure, you vaguely understand the stakes, but when there is no deadline for all this, it just kind of keeps going.
Yes, and, you know, creating this like weird, okay, Cole has a family that he needs to protect, and yet nobody actually cares about them, or I don't know, like this film doesn't seem to know what sort of film it is. It is Mortal Kombat. Just be Mortal Kombat. It shouldn't be so difficult.
also for a film that was made, so this is like a fanboy's fan film made for fans. Like, there are so many references here that if you didn't play the games, there's so much time spent on these references that would just, you would not get if you weren't into the games, right? So for a movie made specifically for the fans, it takes a lot of time introducing us to people that we already know, which is a weird choice, because if you didn't know and if you're not a fan of the games, then you wouldn't need those introductions to begin with. You can just go along with the story. If you are a fan, then you don't need the introductions to begin with. You can just go along with the story, you know? So I don't know why it spends so much time doing things that it honestly doesn't have to do at all.
We're talking today about Mortal Kombat, which is newly released in cinemas here. It was directed by Simon McCoy. And I think that's pretty much all we need to say about that. Has a big ensemble cast. We want to know whether you've seen Mortal Kombat. Did you originally play the game? How did you think this movie compared? WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila, and we are reviewing today Mortal Kombat. So I didn't play the game.
I did, but the very, very old version of it, and then I stopped. But I'm a lot more attached to the 1995 film.
Yes, which I love for its complete insanity. It really is an insane movie, and I think that's what's great about it. Arvin, are you a fan of the game?
Huge fan of the games. So I started playing the games in 1996, I think, Mortal Kombat 3, and then I've played like most of the games since. So huge, huge fan of the games.
So I think I asked that because midway through, at about the 45 to 50 minute mark, when I really started not getting it, when the movie really started to feel a bit like, okay, you know, I'm just watching spectacle for spectacle's sake now. I wondered how it would play for somebody who understood the Easter eggs, who, you know, cared about the game, who they were essentially making this for, right? So tell us everything about how you feel, please, because I felt as if this would make sense really only for the youths, only for the people who've played and loved the game.
No, I felt the same way. Yeah, there were so many times when I punched the air because I loved the references. Like, I got the references. I was like, oh, it's this Easter egg, or it's this person and they're doing that thing or that fatality or that special thing they did from whatever game. So that was fine. But I enjoyed it in the same way that I enjoyed The Rise of Skywalker. It's a fan film for Star Wars fans who have watched like all 9 films. It's not a good movie. It's just like peppered with these like references to make you like it. There's even reveals and things that I think as a fan of the 2 movies that came out and especially the games, you would thoroughly enjoy. I just wish they were in the context of a better film, because you could have made a better film and still had all those references, and they would have worked like perfectly fine.
I wanted to say that what you said earlier about why would they make a film that has so many introductory moments when it's made for fans, I reckon part of the problem is that they're not sure who they're making the film for. Yes, they're making the film for the fans. There's a lot of fan service, which is fine, you know, for a film like this. But they also want to capture a new market. They want to capture the Marvel superhero X-Men fans. And that's very clear because there's a certain vibe to what they're doing with the movie. The thing that they don't seem to understand is we're now not in 1995 anymore. We've seen X number of movies with people with superpowers and you know, things that they can do. I don't think it's particularly impressive if someone can, I don't know, shoot something out of their eye, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of leaning into the martial arts roots of the game, which I think would have been really interesting, it kind of moves away from that. We have some great martial arts sequence and I like it, but instead it leans too heavily into the weird powers and CGI battles, which we've seen in so many other films, that for a person who doesn't have an attachment to the original product, it's just another low quality copy of films that we've already watched.
So one of the big problems with all video game movies, and Mortal Kombat is no exception, is the fact that video games have caught up visually so much with TV and with movies and animation and the like. And so I think that it is a central struggle that most film, most films based on video games have, which is this idea that how do you make something look as good as the video game when people are already so familiar with how the characters look, with how the backdrops should look? And in the case of, say, Henry Cavill and Witcher, they do it that way. They also have Netflix money. They just, you know, threw the whole thing and that's fine. That's what that looks like. In the case of something like Mortal Kombat, I did think at times that because the fighting was so video game-like, because it was not brutal and not physical, you don't feel the punches land, you don't feel the slam of the body, because it loses that physicality, we're back to video game land, and then video games do it better. So I struggled with that quite a bit.
Which is a good example, because I do wonder whether had they gone the TV route, had they gone the series route, are we ready for a Mortal Kombat adaptation TV? And you know, it sounds ridiculous, but Witcher, something about it being a TV series automatically feels more real. You couldn't do an 12 episode arc of something looking this gamey.
The thing though about Witcher is that it has a story, A.
Yes.
And B, pretty much 90% of that game is wandering. You know, you wander around, you meet a serpent, you kill the serpent. Now you can go to sleep. Or you can, you know,
you can sing a ballad.
Yeah, or you can play some cards, maybe meditate for an hour. You know, there are these Witcher things, right, that you can do that, again, lend themselves well to TV. But with something like Mortal Kombat, I guess, if you want to capture the essence of the thing, then this isn't quite that.
The combat, which they don't do. Yeah.
Oh. I guess the essence is like the perfect word, right? Because the Mortal Kombat games were never meant to be this serious. They were never meant to be grounded. So the main things in the games are like the fatalities, the finishing moves, and the ridiculous violence. And the violence was never meant to be real. It was meant to be like a video game, you know, like all over the place, more blood in a body than a body can hold, that kind of thing. And this movie doesn't do that. It still tries to ground it and give it like some sort of seriousness, or there has to be some sort of like story to it or emotion, when you don't have to do that. You can take the Mad Max Fury Road approach and just make an action movie for action movie's sake, or like a martial arts film, or like a fight movie, and it would have worked a lot better. Because I was happy that the movie was rated R, it deserves to be. But even then, I felt like they didn't go all out. They did a couple of gory scenes here and there, not to the point of being ridiculous like the game. There's something in the game called a babality, where you can turn your opponent into a baby just to humiliate them. And that's the kind of movie that I wanted to see. You should make a movie that's that ridiculous, because the games were that.
I so badly want to see a babality just on screen, and I'm so sad that it wasn't there. Okay, so I guess I have one more thing to say, and then a question. So the thing to say is, this movie, aside from having some new faces, also features some people who are pretty much veterans of the screen at this point, right? So I'm thinking of your Hiroyuki Sanadas, your Tadanobu Asanos, you know, people who are used to being, for lack of a better phrase, in good films. And so there was a part of me that, enjoyed the fact that there were so many Asian faces on screen. That was cool, considering that this is a huge release, considering the roots of the game and how we know that Hollywood doesn't always respect that. I appreciated the fact that we saw so many Asian and like really sort of Asian people cast in Asian roles. So I appreciated that. I did, however, think that in some cases, these actors were lending the movie a charisma and gravitas that it didn't in fact deserve.
If you mean Hiroyuki Sanada, yeah, I mean, I think...
Yes, I mean Hiroyuki Sanada.
He was great. He was my favorite thing about the film. But yes, stop taking roles that so hugely undermine what a good actor you are. And Hollywood, stop giving him roles like this. Give him better roles.
So him, I can kind of understand, because he took what is like the most prestigious role in a Mortal Kombat film. So I guess he just banked on the name value of Mortal Kombat itself, one, and of the character that he's playing.
And the paycheck that probably came with it.
Yeah, and that Warner Brothers HBO Max paycheck. But yeah, like the other, some of them were trying way too hard to like, you know, really give us a performance, and some of them were not trying at all, which I don't know where that line is. Also, just I wanted to say about the CGI, some of the CGI for the fire especially, I've seen better stuff on TikTok. Like, there are teenagers on TikTok on their like rinky-dink phones and laptops, making and putting on better CGI on a daily basis. I needed to say that. It's so bad. It's so, so bad.
I didn't like the flying. So the fire, oh, I could semi-live with. The flying sequences where everybody just becomes a sort of blur with hat. I can't get over the hat. I'm sorry.
I think my pet peeve, without trying to spoil anything for anyone, is someone's superpower is a golden Pataling Street shirt, essentially. I'm like, I'm sorry, what is this? Why is the imagery for this film so bad?
Except for some characters who look amazing. So I think it's a question of where it is that they're putting their money, their focus, and their merchandising hopes, right? Where it is that they're pinning those hopes.
Someone loves Sub-Zero. That's pretty obvious, yeah.
Like a lot. So, in closing, Mortal Kombat 2, 2022 or 2023?
Oh, yes.
There we go.
100%. Like 2022, 23, 25. Give me like a 9-episode Star Wars saga for Mortal Kombat. I'll watch it. It's trash, but I'll watch it.
I'm going to say not like this. Do it again. Give me the Mortal Kombat I want. Give me 3 hours of just random pairings fighting it out. And what is it called again? Baby what?
Babality.
Babality-ing people. I'm there. Not this kind of pretend Mortal Kombat movie.
I think a lot of it is going to depend on how well this one does, right? And I think at the moment it's doing reasonably well. So we may get more of the same treatment. I would like more joy. More joy in the death and the blood and the gore. Because that's the point, right? But yeah, as is, not super excited. But there you go. We've been talking today about Mortal Kombat. Have you seen it yet? Are you a fan of the games? What did you think of this iteration of the film? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. And of course, tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Flawless victory.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.